Taking a comprehensive look at the week's indie wrestling news so you don't have to, it's the PWP Weekly Newscast on PWPonderings.com with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another weekly newscast brought to you here by PWPonderings.com. I am Chris GST, the web admin. What we strive to do here is cover all the news in indie pro wrestling. And as always, I am joined by Des Delgadillo. Des, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. And we have Jerome here, too.
Yes, our senior editor, Jerome Cuson, is also joining us. Jerome, how are you doing?
Well, apparently, guys, we have so much to talk about. You just had to have a third person on tonight.
We did. I mean, I have some breaking news right now. John Cena is still your World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah!
Yes, there you go.
Chris, I got to tell you, it was a close one. I was sweating bullets there for a while, but...
I know you were.
Underdog, that fighting spirit never goes away, and John Cena, still your World Champion.
I know. Damian Sandow, man, toughest opponent to date. That's what I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
He gave that Batista fella a run for his money, for sure.
Batista who?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Bull Buchanan or whatever. B-squared.
B-squared. That guy.
That happened at one point in time, too.
Well, hey, if you really want to get into it, Matt Morgan and Tyson Tomko are actually wrestling this weekend on an indie show. Yeah. Let that sink in a little bit.
Can we really call that wrestling? Or is that sort of, you know, play fighting?
Is that show happening at a Chili's?
It's sports entertainment, guys.
Does Tyson Tomko have to wrestle on his break? Is that how it works?
Possibly. But it'd be better well received than Maven, you know. That's okay.
I like to think that Matt Morgan works at the Chili's that Jim Cornette manages.
Wow. Anyway, folks, we do actually talk about wrestling, kind
Liar.
Of, on the show. So this past weekend, there were some results. Wrestling happened, and our senior editor, Jerome Cuson, you were there live for part of it. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But I would say some of the biggest news that came out this weekend was Ring of Honor's Glory by Honor 12 and their 8-man Champions versus All-Stars tag match. It was elimination style, and the caveat to that was if you covered the World Heavyweight Champion that was Adam Cole, you get a world title shot in the future. This match, guys, as we talked about last week, 2-hour time limit.
Did it actually go 2 hours?
No. Spoiler. Okay. Everyone, spoiler. Actually, we should let people know that technically these are spoilers for the television because they actually taped 3 episodes that night. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out for this match, but anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. Jerome, you know about this match. I don't believe any of us have heard your thoughts on it. What were your thoughts when you first heard this was going to happen at Glory by Honor?
I mean, Glory... Des laughs because he knows what's coming. You know, Glory by Honor is an event with so much legacy in Ring of Honor. I mean, this is the event. You know, Kenta and Bryan Danielson had a legendary match at Glory by Honor 5 Night 2. This is the event that Mitsuharu Misawa wrestled at. And, you know, it's been something so important for Ring of Honor. And to sort of see it just be sort of thrown in, you know, and as 3 episodes of TV have 0 title matches, you know, I'm sure that this, the 8-man tag was really great. I'm sure that everybody worked really hard. You know, I feel bad for some of the guys who walked away with some pretty serious injuries. Bobby Fish, obviously the most visible with a pretty nasty laceration. Adam Cole apparently suffering a concussion. And, you know, just wrestling for 73 minutes, I'm sure the guys were pretty beaten up. So I think that's pretty rough, and I feel bad for the wrestlers. But, you know, from my perspective, you know, I'm not going to pay, you know, $40, $30 to go to a Ring of Honor TV taping when I can just watch it over the next 3 weeks. That seems like a pretty financially stupid move on my part.
Yeah.
I'm actually more sad that I missed the shenanigans at the Squared Circle and on the Squared Circle party bus than I was about missing this show live, because sounded like the folks at Squared Circle had a ton of fun before and after the show. So that's sort of where I'm at, and maybe we can discuss the results a little bit.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Dez, you and I talked about this last week. I doubt your feelings have changed on this match. Why don't we just go to the result, and we'll talk about that. So it ended up that the team all-stars of Michael Elgin, Cedric Alexander, Caprice Coleman, and Jay Lethal defeated the Ring of Honor World Champions of Adam Cole, the TV champion Matt Taven, and the tag champions Red Dragon. It came down to the very end between Elgin and Cole, and at about, I believe they said about the 72 minute part, everyone thought the match was going to end. Of course, this already went an hour and 11 minutes, and Elgin did his rolling back fist powerbomb to the turnbuckle to Cole, and everyone thought it was over. Nope, Cole kicked out, and I'm still kind of unclear because all the descriptions I've read as to what happened, I guess it was a top rope, but powerbomb, but some people are saying it wasn't necessarily a powerbomb, so I'm not really sure what that means, but I assume it probably was a top rope powerbomb, maybe just a weird angle for some. But that's how Elgin pinned Adam Cole at the 73-minute mark, and he probably gets a future world title shot, or he should. But that's not all that happened. And this is the part that I just kind of laugh at, and this I say this with all due respect to Jay Briscoe, because I'm a huge Briscoe fan. He came out and he hit Elgin and hit Cole with a sack that apparently had something in it, and he took it out, and it was a custom Ring of Honor World title. We have a picture of that on our results. It's essentially Skull with the Jay Briscoe beard with the Southern flag in the background, and it's in all of its glory, I guess, if that's how you want to put it. He is essentially the Stone Cold Steve Austin now of Ring of Honor. He has his own custom belt. So he basically beat up both of them. And this was came right after he argued with Elgin for a little bit about who gets a future title shot. So that's how the show ended. I'm sure all 73 minutes of the match was awesome, but I don't know. This is one of those things where it sounds better in execution, and then we're going to see it for free on TV. So as Jerome pointed out, if I was to buy this on VOD, what would my incentive be? So, Dez, take it from there. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't even think that doing a 70-minute match sounds good on paper, to be honest. It just sounds like the most time-consuming thing you could possibly do. And I don't even know if I'm going to watch this show. I doubt it. But I don't even know how you can get fans into a match that lasts 70 minutes. And then, oh, look, you have a near fall at 70 minutes into the match. And, oh, I hope to God he pins him. Oh, he kicked out. Damn it. It's probably going to go another 10 minutes. That's how I will watch this match.
Right. And then the show itself is only, you know, with commercials, whatever, it's only about 48, 50 minutes. So there's going to be a lot of editing. Jerome, as you noted earlier, you know, this is going to be free on television. Are you going to watch this?
I mean, I'm the ROH TV recapper for PW Updates, so I will be watching this in all of its edited glory. You know, I want to talk about the booking of this match, because I think a lot of interesting things could have been done, and none of that was taken advantage of. You know, going into this, the TV did an absolutely abysmal job of building up this match. The only angle that they had was really with Michael Elgin, Adam Cole, and Jay Briscoe. Jay Briscoe wasn't even in the match. On television, Jay Lethal, Cedric Alexander, and Caprice Coleman's presence wasn't even announced. And Matt Taven and Red Dragon were essentially afterthoughts because the emphasis was on Adam Cole. Really,
on paper, you wouldn't think you'd have a problem with because he's the champion, but I did watch the last couple episodes, so I get what you mean, Jerome, is that the other three two champions, you know, tag teams are together, but still, the other three champions in the match, it's almost like they weren't there, or at least on television, it's like they weren't important.
And to me, you have an opportunity talking about how Cedric Alexander and Caprice Coleman are the number one contenders and just want their one more match and all that stuff. And they're getting a title match. I believe it's in Columbus on November the 16th. I mean, who knows exactly when this is going to air, but I don't understand why Cedric Alexander Alexander and Coleman are the first two people eliminated when I'm supposed to buy these two as tag team top contenders. And you also look at, you know, the way that Michael Elgin essentially dispatched, I believe he eliminated all four people. Michael Elgin eliminating O'Reilly, eliminated Fish, eliminated Taven, eliminated Cole. So in one night, he pinned all four Ring of Honor champions, but the only belt that he is going after is the Ring of Honor world title. And grant you, the Ring of Honor world title is the most prestigious, but why wasn't there some caveat thrown in where Michael Elgin could possibly get some sort of TV or tag team title shot? It's so bizarre to me that all of the emphasis was put on the heavyweight title. And, you know, obviously it's the most important, but the TV title and the tag team title were essentially reduced to nothing in this 8-man tag. And I feel like if they had put some sort of caveat in there where, you know, if Alexander and Coleman, if they had gotten a pin over Red Dragon, then they would get a tag team title match. Or, you know, if somebody had pinned Matt Taven, they would get a TV title match.
I fully expected Lethal to eliminate Taven, to be honest.
They had Taven beat Lethal clean on television.
Yes, they did.
Which is fine. But I think I would have almost rather have seen them do a 40-minute 8-mag so that they could actually get the whole thing on television, not do an elimination match, and just say, if somebody on the All-Stars pins one of the champions, then they get a title match. And if one of the champions pins the All-Stars, then they can't challenge for their title as long as they're the champions. So then you could have a little bit of more drama, I think, if you know, you could tease Adam Cole pinning Michael Elgin a bunch of times or something like that. At least that way, I think you're putting an interesting dynamic. Or maybe you could tease having Red Dragon pinning Alexander or Coleman. You know, I think you could do that. It makes sense. I think it's a much more interesting storyline. And the championships are at least, if not on equal footing, at least it's the emphasis on the main event is on all three belts.
Remember back in the day, way back in August, when the tag team titles were the most important title in Ring of Honor? Remember that?
That did actually happen, yes.
Remember way back when the TV title was important? Way back, actually, it was never important. But yeah, you get what I mean. Things used to matter.
I think the last time it was actually important, and this is no knock on any of the champion system, but it was when El Generico won the title. And that, to me, was the last time it really meant something.
For 2 months, and he defended it, like, once?
Christopher Daniels held it. Come on. Dez.
Well, yeah. No, he's in TNA now.
The funny part is you guys say that, but Adam Cole won the TV title. It was a big deal, and then he wrestled Bob Evans.
That's my point, yeah. Is that so Adam Cole held it, and I think he really wanted to do something with it. We had him on our podcast very recently after he won the title, and it felt like they were going to do something with it, like they were going to bring the prestige up a little bit, and, I mean, that just hasn't happened. And, you know, maybe that is their emphasis on television. But something I wanted to bring up, and Dez, you can answer this probably because you review some of the TV shows also. Didn't they have I think this was with their tag, the 8-man tag, where it went like 50-some minutes, and they actually did edit it for their TV, and then they said, oh, if you want the full match, go buy, you know, the DVD or the VOD. So maybe that's what their thought process is here, is that...
It was even longer than this one, actually. It was like an 80-minute match. This was a couple of years ago. They were just getting on TV.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. They did.
Yeah, no, they did do that.
Okay, so maybe that's the idea here. Anyway, Dez, so what are your thoughts on, I mean, I guess this idea that it's going to be on television, and I guess they try to entice the fan base to say, if you want the full match, go buy the VOD/DVD.
Why are you going to put any part of the match on TV and then say, go buy the rest of it? That's silly. Just choose one, edit it down and put it on TV. Like, I don't understand. Like, if you show me half of the match, why do I care about the other half? Because you're obviously going to show me the finish on TV. I don't, I don't, I don't know. That doesn't appeal to me at all. They did it before, and it didn't appeal to me at that point either. So, yeah, they did it with the Spartanburg show, as Jerome was trying to say, when they did their Carolina tour or something, and that happened.
Do you have any thoughts on what Jerome said also in terms of the elimination? So it went like this. Adam Cole eliminated Cedric Alexander, and then Elgin was left in the ring. And then I guess Cole and Taven argued about who was going to eliminate Caprice Coleman, and eventually Cole won that out and eliminated him. And then Michael Elgin eliminated Taven. He then eliminated Bobby Fish. And earlier he had eliminated Kyle O'Reilly. And then so it came down to Elgin and Cole. So really was the story of this match was Elgin is dominant and should be the champion of, well, all of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, just, all championships.
Yeah, he's basically the Samoa and Kurt Angle of Ring of Honor, you know, for this time period. So what are your thoughts on what Jerome said? Could they have added a little bit more to this match? Was there something else they could have done?
Sure, they could have. They could have done it, but it would also have been a lot more convoluted, and I think that might be what they were trying to avoid in their defense. When you don't complicate things like they did here, it looks like you're focusing too much on one thing and maybe burying the other titles. But if you had other things happening in this match along with this storyline, then you would get complaints in the other direction that there's not enough attention on the Michael Elgin, Adam Cole storyline, which is your main event storyline. So I can see it going both ways. And to be honest, Michael Elgin is just such a he came out of this looking like such a beast. And I think anybody who has any emotions whatsoever wants to see Michael Elgin destroy Adam Cole and be world champion. So I think in that regard, it achieved its goal. And why? I mean, you want to make the other titles look important. You know, you could have done that months ago before you devalued everything and said, well, we don't have a world champion, so I guess we're going to use you for now. But when the world champion comes back, you don't mean anything anymore. And that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I feel that having the belt on Cole has elevated it in the sense that I am excited to see where, you know, the different challengers he's going to have. And obviously Elgin is going to be one of them. Kevin Steen is coming up this weekend, possibly. Uh-huh. You know, as Jerome said, you know, there was a concussion issue, so we'll see if that match still occurs. Jerome, you know, just as you pointed out, the entire booking of this match seemed kind of weird, and it devalued a lot of the other title belts. What can they do, I guess, to remedy that in your point of view? You know, you watch the TV on a weekly basis. What do you think they should do going forward?
I mean, the problem with Ring of Honor has been basically for the last 7 years, I'll say, no, five years, is a lack of interesting storylines. I think it's a problem that was happening at the end of Gabe's run as Booker. It's something that sort of persisted with Adam Pearce, with the exception of El Generico and Kevin Steen, of course, Jim Cornette and Delirious. You know, there are a couple of storylines in the main event, and a lot of guys are just sort of stringing along, and they have either nothing to do or they're sort of stuck in purgatory. And I think a really good example of that is Roderick Strong. It feels like Roderick Strong on every show is either wrestling the local or the guest star. I'm really excited to see the Paul London match. I've heard rave reviews for that TV main event. So I'm legitimately looking forward to seeing what those two guys can do, because I bet it was really good. If Paul London seems motivated, Roderick Strong needs to be motivated. So I'm sure that was a ton of fun. But, you know, a lot of guys are just sort of running in place right now. Can you believe that Matt Taven has been the television champion for 8 months?
That does kind of boggle my mind. And I was trying to think of what his last major feud was, because off the top of my head, it's just Cole Elgin, Bennett Steen, Red Dragon and CNC, and then everything else in Ring of Honor right now.
I mean, Matt Taven has beaten just about everybody on the roster, and it doesn't feel like he's in any bigger of a position than he was when he won the belt back in March.
That's really sad.
I mean, the hoopla doesn't help. He's actually getting better. You know, I think I watched a match that he had with Jay Lethal on television that was very good, but the problem is the damage has already been done. And exactly what I said would happen happened, and that Matt Taven is starting to get better, and people just don't care.
Yeah, and I mean, this doesn't help because he was essentially defeated by... Granted, he was defeated by the man who we all assume will either be the next Ring of Honor champion or is the next big title contender. So that, I mean, it doesn't weaken him all that much, but still, he's just kind of now... It's just there. It just happened, and that's it. So, I guess in repackaging Taven, meaning, because he's obviously, I think... I've seen him in other promotions. He's a good wrestler, and as you said, he's getting better. You've just got to have that definitive feud. And at this point, who is that with? I mean, like I said, I assumed it would be Jay Lethal, but I don't think they're going that way. So, I don't know, guys. It just kind of seems like they're at a point where they realize we can have two or three feuds going on. One is obviously the main event, and the rest are just there. And everything else on the undercard is just good matches. And as you said, with Roderick Strong, he falls in that. He can have a good match with literally anyone, but there's no progression with that. He's not any closer to a Ring of Honor title match than he was before. And that's pretty much it. And then, of course, I guess I should get your thoughts on this. Battle of the Pile Drivers, guys. Really?
I gave my thoughts on this last week. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, what is the point? I mean, this is just kind of Steen running his wheels. And I'm not blaming Steen or Bennett, who are both very talented. I just feel that there could be more. Jerome, you've probably talked about this in your TV reviews, but what are your quick thoughts on this feud, I guess, if you want to call it that?
The most hilarious thing to me. So Mike Bennett is in a match with Maria against Cheeseburger and Bob Evans. He wins with the box office smash. He doesn't win with the pile driver. So, and then Bennett threatens to pile drive someone, and then Kevin Steen comes out, and they argue about who has the better pile driver. And the first immediate thought in my head is, why didn't Michael Bennett win that match with a pile driver? And then, this past week on television, Kevin Steen was coming out, Michael Bennett attacked Steen, hit him with a pile driver, and then Kevin Steen proceeded to have like a 10-minute match where he actually sold the neck, so I'm not blaming Steen for this. But if Michael Bennett's pile driver is so deadly, why was Kevin Steen able to wrestle for 10 minutes and almost win against Eddie Edwards?
Those are all questions I can't answer. It's all... That's just all up there.
Look,
in the ether.
I know I'm not a wrestling booker, and I know I'm not supposed to ask these questions being a wrestling fan, but I'm not spending hours and hours thinking about this. This is taking me no more than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Des, yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Nope.
All right. Well, then, I mean, that's pretty much it for Ring of Honor. You know, as I said, you can check out the results for Glory of Honor on our website. Go to pwponderings.com. Click on the section that says Indie News, and you will find all the results from this past weekend, including Shine and AAW. Which, Jerome Cuson, you were there live at AEW War is Coming. The three matches that I wanted to focus on for this was the quarterfinals of the Allegiance Tag Tournament, where Zero Gravity defeated Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor after they hit the Flippy Cup 2.0. And in the next quarterfinal, Irish Airborne defeated Prince Ali and Gentai Miller. The AEW Heavyweight title match, it was the main event of the night. Jerome, you're going to have to explain this to me. It was Shane Hollister versus Eddie Kingston. You tweeted, and you were live tweeting the results, that a huge brawl broke out. Everyone from the back came out, and then AAW tweeted that it resulted in a no contest. I would say normally I would have an issue with that type of booking, but obviously having not seen it yet, I really can't judge it. But you were there live. What were your thoughts on this? Did this go over well?
I mean, AAW basically booked themselves into a corner with Shane Hollister and Eddie Kingston. It's a position where they don't really want to give Kingston the title yet because he's in his feud with Silas Young and Shane Hollister. They're really trying to build him up as a big deal in AEW, so they booked them against each other, and we have a no contest. So I am not a big fan of when promotions book themselves into a corner. It was sort of a weird, weird show. You know, I think AEW having shows back-to-back weeks, I'm not a big fan of that at all. You know,
it was a quick turnaround, right? They had a show on the 18th.
They had a show in Berwyn on the 18th. They had a show here. Let's just send out a note to all the major wrestling companies. Don't decide to run at the same time, because from what I understand, AEW on the 18th, Shimmer on the 19th and 20th, this AEW show on the 25th, and Ring of Honor. The attendance was down at all of these shows. I don't know if the what affected this, if they all sort of had an effect on each other, but you know, Ring of Honor not even getting 500 people or just barely getting to 500 in Chicago is not good. This was the smallest crowd I've ever seen at Bourbon Street. I can't speak to AEW or Shimmer. Did not hear any attendance reports on those. But, yeah, I think this is something that needs to be avoided. I don't think AEW should be running back-to-back weeks. I just think it hurts both shows. And I think having to book Hollister and Kingston to just try to get a crowd in, I'm not particularly a big fan of the booking, but, you know, say la vie. There's really nothing else that you could say. I think at least the rest of the show is pretty solid. The quarterfinals, indeed, Zero Gravity and Irish Airborne joined the Monster Mafia and Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs in the final four of the Allegiance Tag Team Title Tournament. There was also a four-way where Matt Cage defeated Knight Wagner. Knight Wagner and Matt Cage looked pretty great in that four-way. Jimmy Jacobs and Lewis Linden were also involved in that particular matchup. And Matt Cage is going to be wrestling ACH at the Windy City Classic on November the 30th. I am very excited for that show because the semifinals and the finals of the Allegiance Tournament are taking place. I am desperately hoping that the Monster Mafia wrestles Jimmy Jacobs and Silas Young in the final, because that would be fucking amazing. Then also ACH and Matt Cage, and the AEW debut, finally, of Kevin Steen.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for that. I mean, you know, they announced that pretty early this month, and I, you know, Kevin Steen is just one of those guys, it is special when you see him in a promotion now. You know, I mean, I realize he doesn't, I don't know how to put this, he wants to work every weekend, but sometimes that just doesn't happen. But now when he's making his debut in these different promotions, I think that's pretty awesome. And, of course, you know, speaking of, I guess, we can get into this next up. Unless, Dez, did you have any thoughts on AEW? I know that you don't get to watch it as much as you want.
Very well said, Jerome.
There you go. All right, but a promotion that you know a lot about. AIW returns to iPay-Per-View on Friday, November 1st for the Double Dare Tag Team Tournament. Dez, this is something I think we've talked about quite a bit, but we're finally there. It's finally this weekend. And so I'm going to announce the matches that they have up on their Facebook page. It is Nixon, Ricky, Shane Page, and Bobby Beverly versus the Sex Bobons of Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. Youth in Asia, Josh Prohibition and M-Dog 20 Matt Cross versus the Submission Squad. The Hooligans of Mason and Devin Cutter versus Hope and Change. And the Jollyville Fuckets versus Team UK of Mark Andrews and Pete Dune. Of course, there's also singles competition. Allison Kay versus Mischief. Johnny Gargano versus Jonathan Gresham. And then a match that will not be live on the iPay-Per-View due to obvious reasons, Michael Elgin versus Josh Alexander. It will be available on the VOD/DVD part of this. So, Dez, now that we've gotten all of that out of the way, I'm assuming this is one of the bigger events for AIW this year. Are you expecting just a blowout show, and what are you expecting? Who do you think is going to win the tag team tournament?
I'm always expecting a big show from AIW because they're always bringing in new people, or they're giving people that you see a lot, they're giving them new chances. So a tag team tournament like this, like the tag team thing has been a big deal over the last couple of months. You've had obviously the tag tournament that's going on in AAW, and I think New Japan either just wrapped up or is about to wrap up their junior tag league for this year. And now you have this in AIW. So tag team tournaments right now, this is the time to run a tag tournament. I think last week I picked the Sex Bombs, and I don't know. I don't think I'm going to change my pick. I see them winning it. They're always there, and they've just worked really hard, either individually or together. And Davey Vega has done a lot of the past year. I think Matt Fidget just came back at Absolution, but they did a good job. So,
and Euthanasia is replacing, we should mention this, the Osirian Portal, correct?
Yeah, that kind of made me sad. It was a little heartbreaking. The Osirian Portal, due to injury, had to pull out at the last minute. But, you know, you make do with what you got, and they got these are the tag teams that you're going to hear a lot about in the next little while. Maybe you don't hear too much about them now, but they're coming up there. Tag team division wrestling on the indie scene is a lot more, it's a lot healthier than you think, and it's going to get really interesting in the next little while. So I'm going with the Sex Bombs, and I know it's on the VOD, and you won't get to see it live, but when you buy the pay-per-view, you get the VOD. So you get to see Michael Elgin and Josh Alexander in a rematch from their awesome, awesome Absolution match that they had in July, which was awesome.
I'm looking forward to Gargano versus Gresham personally. I'm glad that that's going to make the live show, because these are two guys that I think they could have a pretty awesome match given their styles. And I think Gresham, he's not talked about as much as I think he should be. Jerome, what are your thoughts on the card?
I think it's gonna be fun. One thing I'll give this card is that it's got a lot of fresh matchups and potentially, a fresh sort of new team getting pushed. I'm gonna agree with Dez. I think the Sex Bombs are the favorite. It's really tough to see them putting over Nixon or Hope and Change again. I think the Hooligans are too new. You know, I think Euthanasia also, they sort of had their time. I think this is an opportunity to really push a fresh team. I think the Sexpa Bombs, even though they've been around AIW, you know, I think they are that team, and they could have a really good match with the tag team champions. And I'm hoping that Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne, I'm not sure how many more shows that they have left, but I would love to see them wrestle the Sexpa Bombs at some point in this tournament.
Yeah.
Allison Kay and Mischief are also going to have a one-on-one match for the AIW women's title. Unfortunately, Saraya Knight is unable to compete because of a sickness to her husband. So we get this instead. It will probably be very good. Gargano and Gresham. Gresham is almost think he's underrated at this point, because every time I've seen him over the last year or so, he's put on nothing but great matches. So this one with Gargano could be very good. I am looking forward to buying the MP4 when it comes out.
Yeah, I think Team UK, Andrews and Dunn, they're going to be on a VWAA show in the future, so we'll probably get to see them against, I assume, either the Hooligans or the Submission Squad, possibly even the Sex of Bombs or Nixon, who do show up in VWAA, though they're not called Nixon there. But anyway, still should be a fun event, so we all encourage you all to check that out, smvod.com, for the iPay-per-view this Friday on November 1st. So that leads us, guys, into the upcoming shows. I'm just going to mark it off here. On November 1st, AIW, as we just previewed, and also Hood Slam takes place on the 1st. On the 2nd, there's Mex Pro Bleed LA. Dez, why don't you tell us about that?
I actually have no idea what's going to happen on this show. I know they're bringing back Homeless Jimmy, and I was at the last show, and when they announced that Homeless Jimmy is coming from the old XPW, people got really excited about that. So that's going to be there. I know Joey Ryan's going to be there, which is cool, and Willie Mack's going to be there, I think. So we got some names on this show, and last show was it was fun. If you like the deathmatch style wrestling, I think I talked about in the report that the main event got a little too deathmatchy and made me a little uncomfortable, but it was there were people there who were super into it, who liked their deathmatch stuff. So if that's what you like, Mex Pro on Sunday in Huntington Park, and on Saturday, excuse me, the 2nd is on a Saturday, so don't show up on a Sunday because there'll probably be nothing there.
Yeah, you would have missed. And Des, you know, as you said, you know, this is all about the deathmatch stuff for them. The XPW superstar Homeless Jimmy is taking on the hardcore legend, the Necro Butcher, and the fans bring the weapons match. So that's going to include light tubes, thumbtacks. And as you noted, Joey Ryan is going to be there, Eric Watts. Famous B is taking on Sledge, who I don't think I've ever heard of Sledge, but, you know, whatever. And Willie Mack, SoCal Crazy, and Virgil Flynn are also going to be there. And then the Born Stars versus Los Bandidos in tag team action as well. So check that out on the 2nd, Mex Pro Bleed LA. And on the same day, I mean, this is a crazy day on the 2nd. You have an ECWA show, PWF Declaration of War, Hostile Takeover. There's a new owner in PWF. His name is Father Fear, and he has basically taken over. He's rechristened the entire event as the Declaration of War. His weapon of choice is Dustin Reyes, who will take on the current PWF champion, picture-perfect Jordan Cage in the main event. I'm sure a lot of you know who Dustin Reyes is. And Jordan Cage, if you haven't checked him out, you should. You should check out their YouTube page and look at one of his – I believe he had a – I think it was like an hour-long match with the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. So you should check that out as well. Jerome, there's just tons of other events going on. What else is going on the 2nd?
We have CZW Night of Infamy 12 taking place in Voorhees, New Jersey, CZWIPPV.com for the information on VOD, IPPV, and all that good stuff. Drew Gulak is going to be wrestling Chuck Taylor for the heavyweight championship. The tag team champions of Blackout, Ruckus Black G's, they will be wrestling Four Loko, Azrael, and Bandido Jr. Also, CZW Wire TV champion Alex Colon will be wrestling the Beaver Boys, John Silver, in what should be a very interesting match. Al Busick will be wrestling Jake Crist. That's got the potential to be a show stealer. And Drew Blood will be wrestling Devin Moore in the main event. There is a very unusual stipulation. CZWrestling.com. I don't want to explain the stipulation because I will screw up trying to explain it. But Night of Infamy sort of directly leads into the biggest show of the year. And honestly, it's one of the biggest shows in independent wrestling every single year. That would be Cage of Death. Cage of Death takes place on December the 14th. And I can assume that we will know what the Cage of Death match is by the end of CZW Night of Infamy. So be sure to keep up with the results. Twitter.com/PWPonderings. And I'm sure Matt Gibson will have the on-site report, so keep an eye on that. Also, Ring of Honor will be coming back to Cincinnati. They will be having a Golden Dream. That's got many connotations that I do not want to get into. Kevin Steen, if Adam Cole is healthy, he suffered a concussion, was severely dehydrated after the 8-man tag. But Kevin Steen is supposed to wrestle Adam Cole for the Ring of Honor World title. In a World TV title match, Matt Taven will be wrestling Adam Page. In a four-corner survival, Tommaso Ciampa, Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, and Michael Bennett will be wrestling. The winner receives a television title match at Final Battle. One can only hope that Tommaso Ciampa ends our long national nightmare. Jimmy Jacobs, Trial Series match number 5. He is wrestling Roderick Strong. I feel like these two guys haven't wrestled in a singles match in a long time. Chris?
I'm racking my brain right now to think of the last time they were in a match. I think it's been a while. I will look this up.
They've been on the roster seemingly forever, and they've had like one singles match in Ring of Honor.
That could be true. I'm going to look that up, Jerome. Why don't you tell us what else is online for that?
And for the first time in Ring of Honor, ACH continues his job tour 2013 as he wrestles Davey Richards. Dez, I know you are excited for this card.
Yeah. ACH is going to get kicked really hard.
Really? What leads you to believe that?
It's just math. According to my scientific calculations and the latitude of the Earth as it pertains to the sun, Davey Richards is going to kick ACH really hard.
So in addition to being the host of the weekly newscast here at pwponderings.com, in addition to things Dez says.net, in addition to your work as a comedian, you are also a mathematician.
That's what you call that. Yeah. Math doer.
So you're stealing my gimmick is what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, because Chris does the math. Never mind. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so I have looked this up.
See, Dez, that's what you call killing time.
There you go.
That's what a professional radio host does.
I guess, since Dez is a professional. Dez is a professional.
I'm good at killing time.
So they have met... says here, actually, they've met quite a few times in Ring of Honor.
What are we talking about?
Roderick Strong versus Jimmy Jacobs.
Oh.
It's happened quite a few times. The last time, according to WrestlingData.com, was... oh, wow. They're saying Ring of Honor, the Homecoming 2, April of 2009. And it was in a three-way match, including Claudio Castagnoli, who knows where that guy is now.
Hey!
There we go. So, yeah, that's it's been
a while.
That's not
even one-on-one. I was asking one-on-one.
Let's see here. One-on-one.
Because I know they had at least one tag team title.
Let's see. There was a tag match in 2009. They had a tag match. Oh, we're only talking about Ring of Honor. So it would be June 2006. Roderick Strong defeated Jimmy Jacobs at Ring of Honor Chi-Town Struggle.
I was at that show. That was my second ever Ring of Honor show.
You witnessed history there, Jerome. History.
Back when Ring of Honor made history.
Oh.
On that note.
There we go.
Can we go home now?
We can definitely go home. When we start with you, Dez, tell our listeners what you have going on the interwebs.
Nothing. ThingsDezSays.net. If I feel like updating it, things will happen there, but probably not this week. And at DezDelgadillo on Twitter.
All right. There you go. Jerome Cuson, our senior editor. What do you have coming up?
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. You can find my Ring of Honor recaps at pwupdate.net. You can follow my regular updates at pwponderings.com. This week I'm reviewing the GLOW documentary, Shine 6, coming next week. PWG Bulla, Night 1 and Night 2, will be reviewed, and I'm going to slobber all over those shows.
Is that a spoiler? Are you saying you might recommend them, maybe?
Gross.
They were okay?
I don't know. It was awfully close.
I mean, they were okay, right? You know, they're just there.
Painful.
They weren't great.
All right. So there you go. And as always, you can follow Jerome on Twitter. Get his ramblings, Dez Delgadillo, as well. So what I have coming up on the website, and you're actually going to see me quite a bit. I have the recently debuting, well, not debuting, but the second episode of the Ring of Honor Retrocast, where Ari Berenstain, Chris Michio, and myself, we discussed Generation Next. And that was a historical event in Ring of Honor's history. And it's still, I mean, we just got done talking about Roderick Strong. You know, to this day, the Generation Next stablemates, they're still doing a lot in professional wrestling. You know, have Jack Evans down in Mexico, Austin Aries in Impact Wrestling, and, Alex Shelley, hopefully back in New Japan. You know, I know he's dealt with a couple of health issues, but he's coming back strong. So, of course.
Is he coming back Roderick Strong, Chris?
No, he's coming back Cedric Strong, actually. So, then, of course, check out pwponderings.com. We recently put out the Three Dudes Talking Episode 3. It's called Upside Down Sheamus. You can hear my PWP Extra with Impact Zone Wrestling Halloween Hangover Preview with Johnny Z. And I also will have some VWAA reviews coming up and, of course, Ring of Honor reviews in the Total Wrestling Mag out of the UK, so you can check that out there. As always, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/PWPonderings, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPonderings, and as always, if you are listening to us on Stitcher or on iTunes, leave us a 4 or 5 star review. We'd really appreciate that. If you just want to contact me, you can contact me on Twitter at CGSTong, that's CGSTONG, or at the same thing at pwponderings.com is my email. So for Dez Delgadillo and Jerome Cuson, have a great week, guys.
And you know this, man. We'll be right back.